Mr. O. Oh, hi, welcome. I must say, this is strange, staring at just a few people here. Got some pictures of the Bernardine kids. That was pretty cool that they, I could look at them. I could preach at the Bernardine kids with their pictures in their pew. So if you could do me a favor tonight, if you could, from your couch, from your recliner, if you could just every once in a while give out a hearty amen, a praise the Lord. If you need to wave your Bible around a little bit and get excited, or maybe you could pull your phone out and you can text your amen or praise the Lord, your hallelujah. But look forward to speaking to you here tonight in this different way. Of course, as Brother O already mentioned, we want to pray for Pastor Clear for his recovery. Pray for each other. We don't get to see each other. We don't get to talk to each other here in the auditorium. And we don't get to find out the normal weekly news of each other and how each other's doing and how each other's feeling. So just keep in mind, go through that directory, pray for each other. And one day it will be a great time when we're finally able to be back in this place, all worshiping the Lord in one location rather than looking at the computer screen. Anybody else ready for this to end? Anybody else ready to get back to normal? Oh, there were some amens here in the audience. Over in Hastings, I didn't see it in Rosemont when I've driven over here the last few times, but on Thursday, we live out in Hastings, and they have put snow fence around the playgrounds. They've taken the swings off, and kids can't go to the playground anymore. They're stuck at home. And now they can't. We live right across the street from a park, and I can't send my kids across the street to go play at the playground anymore. So I'm ready for this to end. I'm ready to go eat some restaurant food, actually inside the restaurant, and not just have to go through the drive-thru. I found a couple of, I thought they were funny statements. I didn't search the internet to make sure I found something that you may not have found, but a few funny things I have seen in recent days in regards to this. Day 12 of quarantine. I see a lady on my couch. She says she's my wife. She seems nice. Maybe we're being reintroduced to family members that we have been neglecting for a while. I saw one of those memes where it had a picture of people at normal life, and they were all looking at their phone. And then people under quarantine, and it showed people taking walks in their neighborhood. And it tells us, it takes us being told that we need to stay in our houses for us actually to get outside and walk around the neighborhood. And then my favorite, because I love Chuck Norris jokes, it was Chuck Norris was exposed to the coronavirus, and now the virus is in quarantine for 14 days. That was funny to me. Yeah, I got a call last night from Brother Brown asking if I'd preach today, and I said, "Whoa, okay, yes." The right answer is yes, I will be here and I will preach. And over the last 24 hours or so, I'm just thinking about what we're going through. I thought about the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. Now, not that our situation is like theirs. I hope ours doesn't last for 40 years. I think they were more worse off than we are. But in that time, I imagine they looked at God often and said, "What in the world are you doing?" We know that they murmured and complained a lot. And we get to look back, we get to read the Bible, and we see God's hand working, and we get to look at the Israelites and think, you know, stupid Israelites, why weren't you trusted in God? But here we are, we're in the middle of some strange event, and we might be saying, "God, what are you doing? God, Easter Sunday's next Sunday, and we can't worship as a congregation together all in the auditorium." But the one thing that has been said by many people is, this didn't take God by surprise. God is still on the throne. He is still sovereign. And now what can we do in this time to further the cause of Christ in a different way? We're so used to doing things a certain way. We're so used to preaching to an auditorium where there's more than five people. But how can we use this opportunity to still serve him and still get his message across? We're going to be in Matthew chapter 15 tonight, Matthew 15. And as you turn there, I will open us up in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this ability. You think 10 years ago or so, we wouldn't have been able to have church via live stream. And thank you for us being able to have that opportunity. I pray now that as we look at your word, that we would learn something from it and that we would know you better. We pray during this time that you would help us to still follow your guidance in our each and every day. We might not come across people as often, but Lord, that we'd wake up each morning asking you, Lord, what can I do today to help further your cause? And we pray that we'd learn something here from Matthew 15. In your name I pray, amen. So Matthew 15, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 20. I'm not going to read them all right now, but we'll be reading them all throughout as we go. We see starting in verse number 1 that it says, "Then came to Jesus the scribes and the Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Who knew that the Pharisees were concerned about COVID-19 back near 2,000 years ago? They're not washing their hands. Don't you know you're supposed to wash your hands about every 5 minutes? Well, here they are. They're about to eat, and the Pharisees comment that the disciples are not washing their hands. They probably didn't even... Maybe the Jerusalem markets were out of hand sanitizer, that this was just not going well, and the Pharisees were concerned. Now, obviously, the Pharisees were not concerned over the health of the disciples, but we know that this was not just about an idea of not getting germs on their food, not getting germs into their bodies, not getting sick, but the Pharisees, they had this ritualistic washing of hands that they added to their life as they were about to eat bread, and they did it because they were thinking that this is a way I can show how holy I am, how committed I am. And it was based on the washing ritual that the priest did before sacrifices. A few messages ago, Pastor talked about the different types of baptisms and such. And so the Pharisees took this idea of washing oneself before the giving a sacrifice, which was something that was commanded to do, something that was good. And they added it before they ever, or each time that they ate. That they're not just going to wash their hands, but they will go through this ritual of washing to show how clean they are. We know it during the sacrifice that the washing before the sacrifice was meant to show cleanliness. It was meant to show that the sacrifice was without blemish. And those were all great things that were commanded there in the Old Testament, because that sacrifice pictured the coming Messiah. The sacrifice pictured how that the coming Messiah would be clean, would be without blemish. And isn't it ironic that they're mentioning this washing ritual about showing that the sacrifice is without blemish, that was picturing the coming Messiah? And who are they talking to? Well, they're talking to the Messiah. Of course, they don't see that. They don't realize that. But just some irony there. This ritual was more than just washing your hands for 30 seconds while you sing the ABC song a couple times. But they would go through this ritual, and that's what they were talking about. Not just that the disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate, but they weren't doing this tradition that the Pharisees had said they were supposed to do before eating their meal. They're not doing the thing that we said you should do to show how clean you're supposed to be. We then will see in verses 3 through 9 that Jesus talks about these needless rituals. Now we're going to come back to these verses, but we're going to skip down to verse 10 first. Again, we'll come back to these verses. Down in verse 10, it says, "And he called the multitude and said unto them," this is Jesus obviously, "hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man." It's not what you put into yourself that we're worried about defiling. Now, today we're a little worried about don't touch your face, don't get all those germs. I don't know, somebody can count how many times I touch my face during the sermon, because it's impossible not to touch your face. But it's not just about, hey, don't worry about, not supposed to worry about getting germs in you. This, not supposed to worry about, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man. It's not a verse about, hey, make sure you're not eating too much sugar. Make sure you're not eating too much candy. Make sure you're not going to Tim Hortons for donuts every day. To make sure you're not eating too much bacon. Although I don't know if it's possible to eat too much bacon. But these Pharisees, see, we see that the Jesus says that it's not worried about what goeth into the mouth that defileth the man, but instead that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. That what comes out in your conversation, the way that you live your life, what comes out from you, that's what defiles. See, the Pharisees were focused on outward physical cleanliness, while Jesus is concerned about spiritual inward cleanliness. It's later on in this very chapter, Matthew 23, verse 27, where Jesus says to these Pharisees, I don't know, maybe some of the Pharisees were in both of these stories. They heard this message, they're going to hear this other message later on. But it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. So the Pharisees, they were very concerned about what people thought of them, how they looked, and not, they weren't so concerned about what was going on the inside. But that's where Jesus focuses on, what's going on the inside. Don't be so worried about the dirt that goes in as much as you should be concerned about the filth that's coming from within. We see in verse 12, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Find it interesting, the disciples, they have to let Jesus know. Did you know, Jesus, that the Pharisees, they didn't much like what you had to say? Of course, Jesus, he knows everything. He already knew what their reaction would have been. He knew that what he was saying wasn't what they wanted to hear. But these disciples need to make sure that Jesus understands, Jesus, they didn't like that. I don't know, maybe the disciples were happy about it. Maybe that was more like, oh man, Jesus, did you see how much that they didn't like what you had to say? Did you see that their faces all wrinkle up in disgust? Oh, Jesus, that was wonderful. I wish you could park it there for a while. Maybe the disciples were in the background cheering, yeah, give it to him, Jesus. I don't know. That's a little bit more than what's written in the scripture. We see in verse 13 that Jesus speaks to his disciples, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. They don't know what they're talking about. They're confused. They're blind spiritually, and they're leading other people that are spiritually blind, and it's going to be a mess. They're going to fall in a hole, and it's going to be a wreck. You know, during this time when we're stuck at home more often, one of the things that my family has enjoyed, it's mainly me and my kids, Leanna, she gets involved a little bit, but it's more me and my kids. We have found on YouTube the joy of America's Funniest Home Videos. And we watch them, and I laugh, and sometimes last night I cried because I was laughing so hard. But one of the things that I find so funny, it's not blind leading the blind. That would be, you shouldn't laugh if blind people run into things. But what is funny, you may have seen videos of it, of where someone, they can see, but they don't see the store window. They don't see the patio door that's closed. And so they're not blind leading the blind, but they're seeing people, and they run into things that they don't see. And somebody running into a closed patio door, there is not a whole lot more that is funnier than that. And we see here that they don't know what they're talking about. They're talking about things that they don't understand. They're trying to lead people, but they're not fully educated in what they're talking about. And it's going to end in ruin. They're going to fall into this ditch. See, we all have different areas that maybe we're knowledgeable in. You know, I am not a mechanic. One of the best things I can do with my car is to take it to the mechanic shop and say, hey, that's making this funny noise. Can I write you a check to fix it? That's my mechanic abilities. I came here 18 years ago as a junior high math teacher. I like math, and most people think I'm strange for that. I loved math when I was in elementary. I loved it through high school. I even went to college for math, and I've been teaching math here for a long, long time. I get to teach calculus. I got 6 seniors in my calculus class, and it's a joy to teach them in person. It's been a little weird as I've been recording videos of myself and sending it to them about our new calculus lessons, but I enjoy math. And every once in a while, I'll substitute in a study hall or so, and maybe a student that doesn't know me as well, or they're somewhat new to the school, they'll come up to me and say, Mr. Cain, do you know anything about math? Can you help me? And I was like, I know a little bit. I might be able to help. And so math, I can help people in math. I know math. I wish Brother McKinney was here tonight. I was looking forward to saying this in his presence. But Brother McKinney, I'm from Indiana. Indiana's the state of basketball. Brother McKinney, he comes to me often asking for basketball advice. Just, Brother Cain, can you help me become a better shooter? Brother Cain, when I'm out there, I look bad. Can you help me? And of course, I help him become a better basketball player. But there are things that I can't do. Mrs. Clears was playing the piano. Mrs. Tidrick was singing. Mr. O was singing. You don't want me leading singing. You don't want me playing the piano. You don't want me singing a special. I guess if you want America's Funniest Home Videos Comedy Hour, you might want those things. But if you want some good quality song leading specials and piano playing, I'm not the person to ask. I do know how to play a mean Mary Had a Little Lamb on the piano. I mean, there's a reason we send our daughter to Mrs. Clear for piano lessons, and I don't teach her at home. She would not get very far. So they're blind leading the blind. They don't know what they're talking about, and they're not going to be successful. It's going to end in ruin with what they're doing. Verse 15, Peter says, Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. What are you talking about? And I like Jesus' response in verse 16. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Almost to say, Hey, Peter, are you blind like those Pharisees? You don't understand what I'm talking about? Verse 17, Do not yet ye understand, or do not ye yet understand, that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. You see, what we put into our lives and eventually comes out, that's where we could be defiled. What are we putting into our lives? I have an example from my past. It's not a good example, so I'm about to tell on myself a time that a low point in my life. But it was one of my summers being home from college, got a summer job out in the secular workforce, and I was around other people. They were not Christians, and they used foul language, used it quite often. You probably know some people, but it's not where they use foul language because they're angry. It's just they use it because they don't know any other words to use. And so I worked with them most all the summer, and I was a 19 or 20-year-old, and they knew who I was. I mean, they eventually caught wind. You know, I didn't smoke when they took smoke break, and I didn't talk about drinking, and eventually they knew that I went to church and such. And throughout that summer, just being around them so often, eventually, late into the summer, we were just talking, and I remember exactly where I was when it happened. I did not have a conscious thought of, hey, I'm about to cuss, but it just came out. And as soon as it came out, I knew what just happened. Like, oh my goodness, I hope they didn't hear. But they did, because I think there were five of them, if my memory serves me right. But they immediately just turn and look at me. Because they knew, you know, again, I was a young college kid. They didn't care about me. But they knew that I had this such and such testimony. And just in a moment, because I had been around the influence for so long, in a moment of weakness, I probably wasn't in my Bible enough to protect me from doing this, but I slipped, and whatever amount of influence I could have had on those people was immediately gone. I can still remember the turn of heads as, hey, you're not supposed to say that. And no, I shouldn't have. And we see here that in verse 18, for those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. See, I had been around so much this language that it had come in. I hadn't been paying attention that it was seeping in, but it had, and it came out. And so, you know, today, you know, what do I watch on TV? What do I listen to? What do I allow just almost subconsciously to come into my life that in a moment of weakness it's going to come out, even though I might not even be actively trying to let it come out? Verse 19 and 20, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now pause there, verse 20. Got to be careful. Elementary boys, I have one at home, Ryan. you can't make Matthew 15:20 your life verse. See, mom, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man, my life verse. One day when I sign Bibles, that's the verse I'm going to sign. No. So now back up to verse number 3. So we started the chapter, scribes and Pharisees complain to Jesus that the disciples aren't doing this ritualistic washing of hands, and they point that out. And it says, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread in verse number 2. And Jesus responds in verse number 3. But he answered and said to them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? It's the same thing. Hey, why are you doing the same thing? Why are you transgressing God's commandment by your tradition? You say that they're not doing this tradition of washing the hands and therefore violating the commandment in the Old Testament, which again, this is something the Pharisees had added to the law. You're doing the same thing there in verse 3. For God commanded, verse number 4, for God commanded saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. And we know that's in the Old Testament. We got there in the Ten Commandments there of honor your mom and dad, honor your father and mother. And later on in the law, there's examples of when a child would dishonor and disobey mom and dad, they'd be stoned to death. So they understood what Jesus was talking about here in verse number 4. He that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. They would agree with that. But verse number 5, but ye say, ye Pharisees, ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. I cannot imagine saying those words to my mother and father when I was a child. You know, mom, you know, dad, you know the greatest day in your life? That's when I was born. Of course, parents, you love your children and it's a great day in your life. But you don't necessarily want your child to think that they're all that amazing, that life before you must have been really boring. But, you know, when I came along, mom, you got a good thing. You got a good child the day I was born, man. When March 22nd, that's my birthday, it just passed. When it comes around, mom and dad, that should just be a celebration in your life about how awesome your life became since you got to have me as a child. Can almost feel the pain that I would have had I said those words to mom and dad. That would not have been good. So verse number 5, you know, the Pharisees are saying that if a child, as he gets older, if his mom and dad are weighing him down, they're holding him back to being successful, that person, he can say, you know what, I'm going to strike out on my own, it's fine, you don't need me anymore, I'm going to go my own way. And the Pharisees were perfectly fine with that. And so here Jesus is pointing that out as they are transgressing the commandment of God by this tradition that they had set up. Verse number 6. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. That was kind of the title of my message there at the end of verse number 6. Making the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. They had taken this idea of a traditional thing, something they had added to the law, and they had focused on that. Instead of focusing on the spirit of the law that was put forth in the Old Testament, all those laws were to point the Israelites to the coming Messiah. They had lost sight of that, and now they were focusing on the rules and regulations that they had added instead of focusing on the God of those laws and rules that have been put forth there in the Old Testament. They were making the commandment of God of none effect by focusing on the minor things that they had added. See, you obey the letter of the law more than you obey the spirit of the law. You've added to the Bible, you're focusing on the wrong things. In verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, that's Isaiah, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. This comes from Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips they do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me. Is that us tonight? Now, First Baptist Church members, I know almost every one of you. Man, I don't think we consciously say, you know what? I don't care what God has to say. I'm just going to live my life outwardly and my inside. I'll think whatever I want to think. We don't live like that consciously. But I know myself. It's so easy for me to go about Christian things, Christian actions, and not really be doing it in the power of God, be doing it kind of on my own strength, to live the Christian life, because I've grown up, you know, I think my parents started going to church when I was just 3 or 4 years old. I had a profession of salvation when I was 5. I had a little card that was in my Bible that I got saved on March 31st, 1985. Eventually got assurance of my salvation when I was a teenager. But, you know, I grew up in church. I knew how to live the Christian life through my own flesh. And I've been in this Christian thing for quite some time, and maybe some of you have as well. But too often, again, not by conscious choice, but too often I kind of rely on my own self. I mean, I know how to do this. I know how to do Christian things. And I don't fully honor God with my heart. I instead live based on what I understand to do because it's kind of old habit, instead of really relying on God. You see, it made the commandment of God of none effect. Now, some people improperly use that phrase as the idea of saying, you shouldn't have standards, you shouldn't add to the Bible. Now, just recently before school actually closed down, it was right before our spirit days, I talked in chapel to our teenagers about standards. And Pastor Clear has talked about standards here in our church and what they mean and how they are proper. But yes, you can add, or you can put too much of an emphasis on a standard, but standards are important. I told the teenagers in our chapel that, this is canology, this is my thinking. I add standards in my life for two main reasons. Sometimes it's to keep me away from sin. I understand this is sin right here, and if I were to cross it, I would be in sin. Instead of putting my standard right at the line, and if I cross my standard, I fall into sin. Well, instead, I'm going to draw my standard line further away from sin. And yeah, if I slip, if I mess up, if I break my standard, I haven't yet fallen into sin. So sometimes standards are put into your life, you put in your own life to keep you from sin. And sometimes you put standards in your life just to set something aside in your life to say, look, you know, I don't know whether it's sin or not, but I'm just going to set it aside almost as a sacrifice to you, God. I don't need to partake in that. When I talk to the kids, I likened it to fasting. Now, fasting we think of, you know, for such an amount of time, I'm going to not eat food. But maybe there's an area of your life, a standard, say, you know, I'm not going to partake in this event, or I'm not going to partake in this type of activity, just as a way to show God how much I appreciate and am thankful for who he is. But as I was talking to the teenagers, I was getting them to say, you know, today's world, today's even Christianity sometimes is all about no standards. Just throw everything out the door and just live your life how you want to do. You make the rules. And that reminds me of the Bible, in the Bible where it says, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But I was encouraging the teenagers here in the school to set a standard in your life. Put some lines. There's one day you're not going to be underneath mom and dad, but you need to put some lines in your life so that you can live for God. You see, I can't claim that everything that's not written in the Bible, I don't have to follow. You know, when I drove here to church tonight, I saw signs, you see them as well, where it said speed limit, such and such miles per hour, 55 miles per hour. If I were to get pulled over by a police officer, which I have before, it's been a while, it's been many years, there was a period in my life, it happened much more frequently. But I can't say to Mr. Police Officer, you know what? I've read Bible cover to cover, and I don't see speed limit 55 anywhere. You're adding to the Bible, Mr. Police Officer. I don't think that would get me out of the ticket. That probably wouldn't get me the warning. Maybe handcuffs. You know, I can't claim that any rule. If I can't find it in the Bible, that I don't need to abide by it. You know, people here in the ministry or people that know me and the kids at school know I don't like wearing ties. I take them off as quickly as I can. Usually when I leave the building and even when I leave church, the tie is off before I get to my car. I don't like them. But when I came here on staff 18 years ago, and I don't remember the exact conversation, but when I found out that I had to wear a tie when I taught students, you know, I didn't say to Pastor Clare, you know, Pastor, I think you're like a Pharisee in adding to the Bible. I don't see anything about wearing ties in this Bible. I wouldn't be standing here today if I would have said that. But no, we understand that there are guidelines that come into our life that may not be in the Bible, but we still have to follow them. You know, so kids, you can't look at mom and dad when they say you have to be home by 10:30. Although I guess nowadays you never leave your house, so you don't have to worry. But there's no curfew anymore because everybody's just stuck at home. But once when you get out of here and your mom says I need you home by 10:30, you can't claim that that's not found in the pages of the Holy Book. You say, well, going back, maybe that was a little bit of a rabbit trail. But we have here in verse number 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Again, I doubt in our lives, if you're sitting on your couch on a Sunday night watching a live stream when you could be watching a movie instead, I imagine you want to serve God with your life and you want to please Him. But again, as I said a few minutes ago, I know myself. I can get into this living the Christian life through my own strength pretty quickly. And I can run through a list of check marks of, oh, didn't cuss today, check. I read my Bible this morning, check. I couldn't tell you what I read. My eyes kind of glazed over at the page for a few minutes, but I had my Bible in my lap for a portion of my morning. I prayed today. We're not going to talk about the number of times I fell asleep, but prayed today, watched live stream today, didn't murder anybody, check. I mean, I'm having a pretty good day. I guess maybe being stuck at home with the family and not murdering anybody, maybe that is a feat. But we can't go through this checklist and at the end of the day say, yeah, I had a good spiritual day. All the boxes I had written down were checked of the sins that I was avoiding. Because usually on that list are not things such as not complaining. Those usually don't get put on our list because that's really easy to do. Didn't whine today. I don't put that on my list because I know how easy it is for me to whine. But where is our heart? You know, we can go through the Christian motions. Most of us can do it pretty easily. But are we connected to who Christ is? See, if we are not connected to Jesus with a personal relationship, then our life is of none effect. Our life is useless for the cause of Christ if we're not connected to Him. Have you ever tried to serve God through your own flesh and then you wonder why nothing happened? I know I have. You know, I hate it when people say that Christianity, it's hard. Oh, being a Christian, it's so hard. No, it's not. It's only hard when you focus on the wrong things, when you focus on the do's and the don'ts and the rules and the laws. But when you focus on what Christianity really is, a relationship with Jesus Christ, when you love Jesus more than you love life itself, when you look forward to the day that you get to see Him in heaven one day, not that we're all choosing for it to be today, but when you look forward to that, Christianity becomes pretty simple. Love my Savior and follow His direction. All of a sudden, the rules and the do's and the do nots, I don't even seem to be around anymore because it's all about Jesus and all about what would you have me to do. So it's not about what do I want to do with my life? What do I want to be? What do I want to do? You know, I don't know anybody more selfish than myself. I am very selfish. But instead of saying, What do I want to do today? Lord, what do you want me to do today? What would you have me to do? You know, we have seniors that graduate the school here, and I make the mistake myself too, asking them often, hey, you know, what do you want to do after you graduate? What are you planning on doing? When instead the question should be, hey, what does God want you to do after graduation? What does God want you to do with your life? And that's the question to all of us. What does God want you to do with your life right now? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, I don't know what your schedule is, but are you going to wake up in the morning and say, God, what would you have me to do today? Lord, lead me today in your path so that I can further your gospel, your cause today. I know it's weird. We're stuck home. Doesn't seem like there's a whole lot we could do as normal when we're able to get out and about. But God can have something for you tomorrow. God can have something for you this week. See, if we truly believed, and I know all of us believe this, but if we really get it down in our daily life, if we truly believe that Jesus died for us, and without that, we would spend an eternity in hell, and that I have a very limited time on this earth to further that message, man, I would live my life differently. I would be much less selfish. See, I need this. Again, I said many times already, I know how to live the Christian life through my flesh. I know how to do that. That's not what I should do, but I should be connected to Christ. You see, it's later on in the Gospels, and we have a song that comes from it, but he is the vine and we are the branches. His banner over me is love. But he's the vine, and I'm just a branch in that vine. I'm not the vine. I'm not the one that should be the center of my life. Jesus should be the center of my life, and I should be grafted into him and say, what would you have me do today, Jesus? See, unlike the Pharisees, don't focus on the little things. Don't focus on the outward actions and lose the connection that we're to have with Jesus. Don't let it be said of us, as it is there in verse 8, but their heart is far from me. They honoreth me with their lips. They draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, but their heart, it's not there. Don't let that be said of us. Not only should we be living outwardly the Christian life, but our heart should be connected to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this evening, and I hope I conveyed properly the idea of being connected to you and being focused on you instead of focused on just what we do outwardly. It's not the things that we put into ourselves, but what we do, what comes out of us that is important. And again, I can have things come out of me for a while that are spiritual, that are good, but if I'm not connected to you, eventually my true inner self is going to show, and I'm going to be shown for being someone that is not connected. But let me be connected to you today. Let us all be connected. And pray that we'd have a great Easter service next Sunday. And whatever Sunday it is that we finally get to be back here all together, it's going to be a great, great time. We love you, Lord. Amen.